All right, ready to dive into something pretty cool.
Let's do it.
Today, we're taking a deep dive into the world of injection molding.
Sounds fun.
I know, I know. You might be thinking, injection molding, huh? A little dry, maybe?
Maybe at first glance.
But trust me on this one, it's way more fascinating than you think.
Oh, absolutely.
We're talking about the secrets behind how so many everyday products are made.
Yeah, like from your phone
To
case,
car parts.
to toys.
Pretty much anything plastic you can think of.
Exactly. Injection molding is everywhere. You just don't realize it.
And for this deep dive, we're going to get into some of the really clever engineering and design that go into it.
Yeah, the stuff most people don't even know about.
We've got some excerpts from a technical article. It's called What Are the Key Points and Challenges in Injection Mold Parting Surface Design?
Catchy title, huh?
It's a mouthful, but don't worry, we'll break it down.
Yeah, we're going to make this deep dive your shortcut to becoming an injection molding insider.
By the end, you'll understand why those parting surfaces they talk about are so important.
They're like the unsung heroes of making sure you get high-quality products.
And that those products get made efficiently. So let's jump right in. First things first, what exactly is a parting surface?
Okay, so picture this. You've got a mold, right? Which is basically two halves.
Like a clamshell.
Exactly. And those two halves, they come together to form the shape of whatever you're trying to make.
Like a little plastic toy or something.
Yep, exactly. Now, the parting surface is the line where those two halves meet.
Like the seam on a piece of clothing, but for plastic objects.
Perfect analogy. It's that dividing line that determines how the final product will be popped out of the mold.
Okay, that makes sense. So why is this parting surface so important? What makes it such a big deal?
Well, think about it. If that parting surface isn't designed just right,
What could happen?
you could end up with a product that's damaged.
Oh, like warped or broken.
Exactly. Or it might be a real pain to get out of the mold.
Which would slow down production.
And that means more cost, which nobody wants.
So it's not just about splitting the mold in half, it's about splitting it in the smartest way possible.
Right. Take a simple object, something like a plain drinking glass. The parting surface would probably run along the glass's widest point.
So it opens up like a clamshell and the glass just slides right out.
You got it.
Okay, but what about something more complicated? Like, imagine a toy car with all those curves and details. How did they design a parting surface for something like that?
That's where the real challenge comes in.
Our article mentions that designers have to really analyze the product's geometry to find the best parting line.
Yeah, you don't want to just pick a random spot. It needs to be strategic.
So they don't accidentally put too much stress on the part when they're taking it out of the mold.
Exactly. Or create weak points in the final product.
Right, because then it could break easily.
Or warp, which is no good either.
So it's a lot more than just drawing a line down the middle of something.
Way more. You got to think about all the angles, literally.
What about things like side holes or undercuts? Don't those mess things up?
Oh, those are tricky for sure.
Yeah, I can imagine those getting caught on the mold as it opens.
Exactly. It's like trying to get a bundt cake out of a pan.
With all those ridges, yeah, you need a special tool for that.
So in injection molding, they've come up with these clever design elements called sliders and inclined ejectors.
Ooh, now we're getting into the good stuff. Okay, tell me what those are.
Basically, they're like extra moving parts that are built right into the mold itself.
So the mold is like its own little machine.
Pretty much.
That's so cool.
It is pretty cool. So the sliders move sideways to create those undercuts or side holes.
I'm picturing it.
And then the inclined ejectors, those push the part out at an angle so it doesn't get snagged.
Smart. But those extra parts, I bet they add to the cost of the mold, right?
They do add complexity, that's for sure.
But our source article makes it clear that they're often absolutely necessary.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you want to make complex shapes without sacrificing the quality of the final product.
So it's a trade-off.
You got it. You have to weigh the complexity against the benefits.
Okay, so we've talked about how the mold splits open and the product comes out. Is there a specific term for that process?
Yep, it's called demolding.
Demolding. All right, got it.
And it's actually more complex than you might think. It's not just yanking the part out, there's a strategy to it.
Oh, really? I'm intrigued.
That's where we get into something called demolding direction. And that's a whole other layer of complexity, which we'll talk about next.
Demolding direction. Okay, I'm already hooked. Tell me more.
All right, let's get into it. So, demolding direction, it's all about the path that the product takes as it's ejected from the mold. You can think of it like navigating a maze. Got to find the right way out.
Okay, I like that analogy. It makes sense. So you're saying it's not always just pulling the product straight out?
Nope, not always. Sometimes straight out is fine, like for simple shapes like that drinking glass we were talking about. But when you've got something more complex,
Like that toy car.
exactly, with undercuts, curves, all those delicate features,
Yeah.
you got to be careful. Choose a demolding direction that won't cause any snags or damage.
Makes sense. You wouldn't want to break off a side mirror or something.
Exactly. So those sliders and lifters we talked about?
Yeah, the little helpers inside the mold.
Yeah, those guys, they play a big part in this too.
How so?
They're like expert guides, making sure the product comes out of the mold safely.
Leading it along the right path.
Yep, no bumping into walls in this maze.
It's like a carefully choreographed dance or something.
Exactly.
Man, it's amazing how much thought goes into something that seems so simple, just getting a part out of a mold.
It's all about the details, right? And it's not just about protecting the product either. Demolding direction also has a big impact on the mold itself.
Oh, how so?
Well, think about it. If you're constantly pulling parts out at awkward angles.
Yeah, I can see how that would cause wear and tear.
Exactly. All that friction, parts getting stuck or dragged.
It would shorten the lifespan of the mold.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And a shorter lifespan means more maintenance.
More cost, which we're trying to avoid.
Exactly. So choosing the right demolding direction, it's crucial for product quality, but also for keeping those manufacturing costs down. Really got to think about the long game.
It all comes back to efficiency, doesn't it?
It really does. Speaking of efficiency, let's zoom out a bit and talk about the overall structure of the mold.
Okay, yeah, we've been talking about all these little details. What about the big picture?
It's more than just a hollow container, that's for sure. Think of it as a sophisticated system.
Ooh, I like where this is going.
You've got systems to control the flow of molten plastic, to cool it down efficiently, and then, of course, to eject the finished part. Lots going on in there.
That's a lot to manage. What are the key elements that we need to know about?
Okay, so we've got the cooling system, the gate and runner system, and the ejection mechanism.
All right, let's take those one by one. First up, the cooling system. Why is it so important for the plastic to cool quickly? I mean, can it just cool naturally?
Well, it could, but that would take forever. The faster the plastic cools, the faster you can make the next part.
Ah, okay, speed things up.
Exactly. It's all about cycle times. That's the time it takes to make one complete part.
So shorter cycle time equals more parts produced.
Exactly, which means more efficiency and lower costs.
So a well-designed cooling system, it can really impact a company's bottom line.
Big time. And that's why you see all these innovations in cooling systems.
Like what? What kind of innovations?
Well, our source article mentioned something called conformal cooling channels.
I think I skimmed over that part. What are those exactly?
Okay, think of it like this. You're trying to cool down a cake after it comes out of the oven.
I do love cake. Okay, I'm listening.
So you wouldn't just stick the whole cake in the fridge as is, right? You want to make sure the cooling air reaches all the sides.
Yeah, otherwise you end up with a soggy middle. Yuck.
Right. Traditional cooling channels in a mold, they're like just sticking the whole cake in the fridge. Straight channels drilled right in.
Not very efficient.
Nope. But conformal cooling channels, they're like placing vents all around the cake, making sure the cool air gets to every part evenly.
Ah, okay, so it's about getting the plastic cold, but also getting it cold uniformly.
Precisely. Conformal cooling, it's all about precision. And the benefits are impressive.
Who tell?
They can really cut down those cycle times, minimize warping or shrinkage issues, and ultimately lead to higher quality parts.
Makes sense. So are conformal cooling channels used for all kinds of parts?
They're especially important for complex parts, things like engine blocks, intricate medical devices, anything where precision is super important.
Wow, that's pretty cool. A little design tweak can have a huge impact.
It really can. Okay, next up, we have the gate and runner system.
Either way.
Think of this system as the network of channels that guide the molten plastic from the injection point to the mold cavity.
So it's like a carefully planned plumbing system for liquid plastic.
Perfect analogy. It's got to flow smoothly and evenly, no clogs allowed.
Yeah, I can see how that would be important for preventing defects.
You got it.
Yeah.
You don't want the plastic to get stuck somewhere or cool too quickly in certain areas.
That would mess up the whole part.
Yep. A well-designed gate and runner system, it makes sure the plastic reaches every corner of the mold.
And that minimizes wasted material too, right?
Exactly. Less waste means lower costs, which is always a good thing.
So, how do they figure out the best design for this system? Is it just trial and error?
There's definitely some science involved. They have to consider the type of plastic being used.
Oh, right, because different plastics have different properties, like how they flow.
Exactly. And the size and complexity of the mold also matters. A big, complicated part needs a different system than a small, simple one.
I'm starting to see how much careful planning goes into all of this.
And nowadays, they have these amazing simulation software tools that can help.
Oh, like computer simulations of the plastic flowing.
Exactly. They can test out different designs virtually.
And spot any potential problems before they even build the physical mold.
Yep. It's like a dress rehearsal for the plastic.
Very cool. Okay, what about the last element, the ejection mechanism? That sounds pretty self-explanatory.
Well, it's about getting the finished product out of the mold safely and smoothly, which isn't always as easy as it sounds.
Right. You don't want to damage it on the way out.
Exactly. And there are a lot of different types of ejection systems they can use.
Like what?
Simple mechanical ones, hydraulic systems, pneumatic systems.
Sounds fancy. So how do they decide which one to use?
Depends on the product, really. Something small and simple, like a bottle cap, probably just needs a simple mechanical ejector pin to push it out.
Makes sense. But something bigger or more delicate?
You might need a hydraulic or pneumatic system for more control.
So you don't accidentally dent or scratch the part while you're ejecting it.
Exactly. And it also helps to reduce cycle times because you're not fiddling around trying to pry the part out.
Oh, I see. It's like a smooth, choreographed exit for the product.
That's a great way to put it. And the choice of system really affects how smoothly and efficiently everything runs.
So we've got cooling, the gate and runner, and the ejection system. What else is there to think about when it comes to the structure of the mold?
A very important point. What about the mold's own structural integrity?
Oh, right. The mold itself needs to be strong, doesn't it?
It sure does. It has to withstand a lot of pressure and heat during the injection molding process.
It's like a pressure cooker for plastic.
Pretty much. If the mold isn't strong enough,
what could happen?
It could crack or warp after a few cycles, and then you've got a big problem.
Yeah, that would be a costly mistake.
Big time. That's why the choice of material is super important.
What kind of materials do they use?
Hardened steel is a popular choice because it's tough and can handle the wear and tear.
But I bet it's expensive.
Yeah, there's always a trade-off between cost and durability.
I'm sensing a theme here. It seems like everything in injection molding is about balancing different factors.
You got it. Design complexity, material cost, production efficiency, product quality, it's all connected.
It's like a giant puzzle where every piece matters.
Exactly. And that's what makes injection molding such a fascinating field, so much to consider.
It definitely is. Okay, let's shift gears again. I want to hear about the cool stuff, the innovations in injection molding.
Now you're talking. Our source article makes it clear that innovation is key for staying ahead in the manufacturing game.
Yeah, the world is changing so fast. Gotta keep up.
Exactly. We've already talked about how complex product shapes and the demand for higher quality are pushing designers to get creative.
And let's not forget about cost. Everyone's always looking for ways to save money and make things faster.
Right. Innovative designs can address all of these challenges. It's pretty amazing.
Okay, give me some examples. How is innovative design changing the game in injection molding?
Well, one area where we're seeing huge progress is in improving product quality.
I'm all ears.
Think about technologies like simulation software designers can create virtual models of their molds and test them out under all sorts of conditions before they even build the physical mold.
So they can catch problems before they even happen. That's pretty smart.
It really is. Not only does it help prevent defects, but it also saves time and money because you're not wasting resources on reworking or scrapping bad parts.
Makes sense. And what about 3D printing? I feel like that's got to be having a big impact too, right?
Oh, absolutely. 3D printing is a game changer for mold design.
How so?
Well, for one thing, you can create molds with incredibly intricate details and geometries that would have been almost impossible to make with traditional methods.
It's like opening up a whole new world of design possibilities.
Exactly. And it's not just about complexity. 3D printing also allows for really fast prototyping and testing, so designers can experiment with different ideas quickly and efficiently.
That's going to be a huge advantage in industries where things change quickly, like tech or fashion.
Absolutely. Speed is key in those markets.
Yeah.
But innovation isn't always about fancy new technology.
Okay, what else is there?
Sometimes it's about finding clever ways to cut costs and make production more efficient.
I like the sound of that. Tell me more.
One big area is automation.
Yeah, robots.
Not always robots, but yeah. The idea is to automate tasks like loading and unloading the molds, inspecting the parts, things like that.
So you need fewer workers, which means lower labor costs.
Exactly. And there are also innovations that help reduce material waste.
Waste not, want not. How do they do that?
Well, some molds are being designed with what they call multifunctional components.
Multifunctional.
Yeah,
Sounds
no.
impressive.
The idea is to combine multiple parts into a single unit. So instead of needing several different molds for different parts of a product, you can make them all at once.
That's so smart. Saves time and material, right?
Exactly. And then when it comes to speeding up production, well, rapid prototyping and testing are really important.
We talked about that a bit with 3D printing. How does that tie into the bigger picture?
It allows designers to test out different versions of a product really quickly before they commit to a final design.
So they can make sure it's perfect before they start mass production.
Exactly. Saves a lot of headaches down the line.
I bet. Okay, our article mentions something called modular mold systems. What are those?
Those are pretty cool. They're like building blocks for injection molds.
Building blocks. Okay, explain that to me.
Basically, they're designed to be easily reconfigured and adapted to produce different products. You can swap out different components.
Like Lego for molds?
No, kind of. So instead of needing a whole new mold for every little variation of a product,
You can just tweak the existing system.
exactly. Way more efficient and cost-effective.
That's brilliant. Okay, what about smart technologies? I feel like we can't talk about innovation without mentioning those.
Oh yeah, that's where things get really futuristic. Imagine molds with sensors embedded right in them.
Sensors, what kind of sensors?
Ones that can monitor temperature, pressure, even the flow of plastic inside the mold in real time.
So it's like the mold is telling you how it's doing.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And all that data can be used to fine-tune the process, catch potential problems before they happen, even predict when the mold needs maintenance.
It's like having a doctor for your mold.
Exactly. And with all the advancements in the Internet of Things, that data can be sent wirelessly to a central system, so you have a complete overview of what's happening.
That's going to be super valuable for manufacturers.
Oh, absolutely. It helps them maintain consistent quality, reduce downtime, all sorts of benefits.
Wow, it sounds like innovation in injection molding is really taking off.
It definitely is. It's an exciting time to be following this field. Who knows what they'll come up with next?
It really makes you think about all the everyday objects around us in a new way, doesn't it?
It does. It's amazing to think about all the thought and ingenuity that goes into making even the simplest things. Like, have you ever stopped to think about how your toothbrush was made?
Honestly, no, not really. But now I'm curious.
It's easy to take these objects for granted, but once you start to understand the process, it's like unlocking a whole new level of appreciation for the design and engineering that shapes our world.
It's like suddenly seeing the Matrix. And you know, it's not just about appreciating objects. Understanding injection molding can actually make you a more informed consumer.
Absolutely. When you know a bit about the process, you start to recognize quality craftsmanship. You understand why some products are more expensive than others.
You can make smarter choices about what you buy.
Exactly. And who knows, maybe this deep dive will inspire someone listening to explore a career in engineering or manufacturing.
Yeah. It's definitely a field with a lot of opportunity for creative people.
For sure. But even if you're not planning to become a mold designer, understanding the basics of injection molding is valuable knowledge.
It connects you to the things you use every day.
It helps you appreciate the world around you in a new way.
Well said. All right, before we wrap up, let's do a quick recap of the key takeaways from our deep dive into injection molding.
Sounds good. Hit me with the highlights.
So we started by talking about parting surface designs, that all-important line that determines how the mold splits open.
We saw how product shape, complexity, all those factors play a role in where that line goes.
And how sometimes they need those clever little helpers, the sliders and lifters, to make sure everything comes out smoothly.
Right. And then we talked about demolding direction, making
Yeah.
sure the product exits the mold in the right way.
So it doesn't get damaged and the mold lasts longer.
So we also dug into the three main elements of mold structure: the cooling system, the gate and runner system, and the ejection mechanism.
And we saw how innovation is changing the game in all of those areas.
From conformal cooling channels to 3D printing and automation, there's so much exciting stuff happening in injection molding right now.
It's mind-boggling to think about how far it's come. But as we wrap up, I have one final question for our listeners.
Go for it.
We've seen how much injection molding has advanced, but what's next? What are the limits of what we can create with this process?
That's a great question. With all the new technologies and materials being developed, it's hard to say where the limits are.
It's an exciting time to be watching this field. So, to everyone listening, keep your eyes open. You might be surprised by the injection molding innovations you see popping up in the world around you.
And who knows, maybe you'll be the one to come up with the next big breakthrough in injection molding.
Until next time, keep exploring and keep those minds curious.